Okay. It's truly an incredible schus for me to be back in Camp Hask, to be back home. I mean that. I really feel at home here. The moment I step on this campus, I never had the schus to be like you. I've spoken about this many times over the years. I never had the schus to actually work in Camp Hask. But I feel more at home here than any other camp that I was at for many, many years throughout the years that I was going to camp and working at camps. And it's a schus to feel part of this very, very special mishpacha that you're a part of. And I'm in awe of you. You know, mitalmida yosef mikula. I come here, I'm going to try to offer some words of chizik and isoris and Torah. But just by seeing you here and knowing what's going on in this holy, holy, holy place, it's worth the long drive, it's worth the long night, and it's something very, very special that I look forward to all year long. I look forward to all year long. Because you're my heroes. And I know, especially early in the summer, I know many of you might not feel like that yet. Because it's a lot of hard work. And you might even feel that you're failing because you pictured in your mind you had this whole big plan that you're going to come to Hask, and it's an amazing place to be involved in Beit Adam Chaveiro and giving of yourself, but you're also going to make sure that you're going to be the one that still is davening with serious kavana and learning every day. And a lot of those plans have fallen by the wayside by many, I know. Because nobody could have prepared and understood what you're walking into. But realize one thing before I begin, that each and every one of us, our avoda in life is to do Ratzon Hashem. We daven because it's Ratzon Hashem. We learn because it's Ratzon Hashem. We keep Shabbos because it's Ratzon Hashem. And if it's Ratzon Hashem, if it's the will of God, it's best for us because God created each and every one of us and He knows better than us what's best for us. He understands us, He understands this world, and if He gave us mitzvos to each and every one, is very special for us. And will help us grow and fulfill our tafkid, our purpose in this world. It's Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes Ratzon Hashem is to not keep Shabbos. Sometimes Ratzon Hashem is to not daven. It's Ratzon Hashem. If God forbid somebody is sick and needs to go to the hospital, it would be us or not to go to the hospital. You have a chiv to break Shabbos. It's Ratzon Hashem. I deeply believe every single one of you, literally every moment of this summer, is involved in Ratzon Hashem. In ways that I'm jealous of. The Mesiras Nefesh that you're giving, that you're doing, that you're involved. Mesiras Nefesh. Not just Mesiras, it's Mesiras Aguf and Mesiras Nefesh. You have to understand that word. We throw it around, Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, Nefesh is the soul. It's not just you're giving up your body, and it's hard, and it's very late nights and early mornings, and situations that you've never been in before. You're giving up your ruchnius as well. You're giving up your ruchnius as well. That's Mesiras Nefesh. You're giving up your nefesh, your soul. But you have to understand, that is ruchnius. You know, there's an incredible story. Some of you might have known already, where, you know, it used to be, and still today to some degree, in certain places, by the Hasidim for sure, there's a minog to go, specifically Yomim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and to be by tzaddikim, to be by the Rebbe's, to daven together with tzaddikim, to elevate our tefillahs, to hope even if our tefillahs are not what they should be, that davening with tzaddikim will, their tefillahs will carry our tefillahs. So many Jews used to go to be by the shul of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, to daven by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. We've all, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Muslim movement. And one year was Yom Kippur, and it was Leil Kol Nidre, and the shul's packed. And it's time for Kol Nidre. And everybody's there. Everybody except for Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And they're waiting, and they wait 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour. And they figure, okay, he's doing hachanas, he's preparing some very deep hachanas for Yom Kippur, but he's just not showing up. And after about an hour, they decided they have to go on with the tefillahs. They have to daven. And everybody was really taken aback, and people traveled like a whole week just to be there, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is not there, it's very strange. And they're walking home after, you know, they still daven, it's called Nidre night. At the end of Ma'ariv, at the end of the tefillahs, they're walking home. And a few of the Jews, they see, they couldn't believe their eyes, they see in a window in a home, they saw it looked like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And they go and they find he's in this home, and they see through the window, he's holding a little baby. He's holding a little child. And they see him talking to a husband and a wife. They were very puzzled. They didn't know what was going on. So what happened? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he was on time for davening Kol Nidre night. He wasn't going to be late. You know, where I'm late to davening. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is not late to davening. But he was on his way, and it was deep in Machshava, we can imagine, preparing for Yom Kippur. And he starts to hear a baby crying. And the crying just was louder and louder, and he couldn't handle it. He had such empathy, such care. And he saw through the window of a home, he sees this baby crying, and it's just continuously crying. And he knocks on the door, and nobody comes to answer. So he tries, and he feels, and it was a small, you know, shtetl, all yid in there. And he opens the door, and it wasn't locked. And he goes inside, and he says, "Hello, is anyone home?" Nobody was there. He realizes the baby's all alone. And he goes, and he picks up the baby. And he holds this baby, and he's soothing the baby. And he calms the baby. And he wouldn't leave the baby. And he decided that's how he spent his Kol Nidre night. And the parents eventually at this point come home and they find Rabbi Yisrael Salanter holding their baby. And they realize a little bit what happened. They start apologizing, "Rebbe, we're so sorry. Our baby always sleeps through the night when we put him to sleep. He never makes a peep every night. We figured we wanted to be in shul Kol Nidre night. There's no one that could watch the baby. We figured we could both be there." So they left the baby, but of course that was the night the baby's crying. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, "It's okay. It was a schus to hold your baby tonight. It was a schus to take away the tears of the baby." And they say, "But you didn't even daven Kol Nidre night." And he says, "You think I didn't daven? You know what my tefillahs were like holding your baby? You know what my tefillahs, I had such special tefillahs." And they start apologizing. They say, "Don't apologize. That's what Hashem wanted. That's what I was supposed to be doing." You hear what Yisrael Salanter was saying? Leil Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre night. He understood that more important than what's Ratzon Hashem, not that she should be in shul inspiring 1,000 people, not that he should get the chizik of Kol Nidre with the tzibur, pulling out the Sifrei Torah, kissing the Sifrei Torah. He should be all alone, holding a baby, taking care of Hashem's child. That's crying to Hashem. That was Ratzon Hashem. And don't forget, each and every one of you. Each and every one of you, every single moment here. You chose probably the greatest choice of your life. You chose probably the most important choice of your life to be involved in a very difficult summer, very hard summer. People look towards the summer as like relief and chill and fun. And you chose exactly the opposite. You're going to need a vacation after the summer. You're going to need it. And you deserve it. Take one. You chose to give of yourself 24/7. You chose to be Moser Nefesh. You know what else you chose? And don't forget it for one moment. You chose to be involved in Ratzon Hashem every single second. What a schus. Who could say that? I know I can't. I'm trying. I can't say that. That every single moment you're involved in Ratzon Hashem. What a schus. The next time that it's hard for a moment, and it probably will be, whether it's hard just physically or it's hard that you're giving up so much spiritually. Some of us, you think back, at some point during this year, you were in Eretz Yisrael, you were standing by the Kaisel davening, you had all the time in the world to daven Shemoneh Esrei, and now you have like 3 minutes. That's Ratzon Hashem. This is Gan Eden right here. You don't have to be by the Kaisel. You're in Gan Eden. You're in the Gan Eden of the world. Just realize it and don't forget it. And grab onto this chus that you have here. All right, let's learn a little bit. Let's learn a little Torah. Because you have, listen, I can't take away, I could continue to talk about this, how enamored I am by you. But it's not fair of me to take your few minutes that you, if you're here, after this long day that you definitely all put in tremendous effort, you could be relaxing in so many other ways, you could be sleeping, but you're here, so how could I take away a schus to learn Torah together? You know, we're in the middle of the 3 weeks. I have to remind you that, you're in Camp Hask. So, for the rest of us, we're B'Bein HaMetzarim, we're in the 3 weeks. We're trying to prepare on some level and to connect on some level and to feel on some level the tragedies of the history of our nation. It's not hard to feel the tragedies because they don't stop. You know, we don't have to talk about Churban Beis HaMikdash. We don't have to talk about the destruction of the walls of Yerushalayim and all the 5 occurrences of Shavuot Zvitam and the 5 of Tisha B'Av. We just talk about what's going on in Surfside, Florida, as we're here this moment. I have a very close friend who was there as part of the team of Chesed Shel Emes, who was there volunteering his time to take care of the kedoshim that are found. And it's an amazing thing. He was telling me they treat every single body that they find as a yid, because they don't know if it is a yid or not yid, and they mamish with tefillos and all that you would in an incredible way until they find out if it's a yid, if it's not. The tragedies don't stop, so it's not hard to feel. But all of these tragedies and all that we think about and that we're yearning to be away from, that we're davening for Geula and Yeshua, it's all represented by Churban Beis HaMikdash. Churban Beis HaMikdash and Tisha B'Av is the culmination. We hope this year we'll be rejoicing, and we have to believe that it's possible, and hopefully we all will be. But we don't understand anything, but I'll tell you one thing we do, is that if we had Beis HaMikdash, we had Geula, we'd be B'Shalom, we'd be B'Simcha, we'd be B'Shua. So when we yearn for and daven for Beis HaMikdash, we're davening for all this to end. You know, nobody here could give one understanding even for a moment of why the Mishpachos, the 45 Mishpachos, had to and are continuously suffering from that terrible tragedy in Meron. None of us understand one drop. Not one drop. But we understand if we were Zohar Chal Beis HaMikdash, we'd have Geula, and we wouldn't have to be talking about this. So that symbolizes it all. So if we could rebuild Beis HaMikdash, if we could be Zohar to Geula, we're Zohar to Simcha, we're Zohar to Yeshua, we're Zohar to the end of this whole time. So there's a lot of Gemaras and a lot of discussion of why Churban Beis HaMikdash happened. And we talk about these because that's obviously what we need to fix. That's obviously what we need to work on. There's one Gemara that might be the most puzzling to me. It's a Gemara about B'Mesiyah Daf Lamed Amud Beis. In Gemara Bavisiyah, the Aflamino Bey says, what's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? What's the reason why the Shekhinah is no longer as revealed as Hashem should be amongst us? What's the reason that we're having tragedies like in Meron and in Surfside? What's the reason? What's the reason on some deep level of the Holocaust? And we know lots of reasons, right? And everyone's thinking about Sinas Chinam when I throw this out there to you, because that's what's most discussed about Churban Bayis Sheni, which obviously we still haven't been mitakein, and you guys are definitely doing a better job than the rest of us. But listen to this Gemara. This one's maybe the most puzzling. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo charvu Yishlaim ella. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the reason of destruction of Yishlaim? So Gemara goes on, Shehemidu dineim al din Torah, that the Jews were doing and keeping Torah and ruling according to the Torah. They were doing everything they were supposed to ever. You know what they didn't do? Listen to this. Mom is crazy. Lo avdu lifnim mishur sadin. They didn't go above and beyond. You know what lifnim mishur sadin means? Means not just keep the Torah, but go above and beyond. They were keeping it all. But they didn't go above and beyond. That's crazy. For that, Churban Beit HaMikdash? Really? How could that be? How's that possible? So Ben Yoyada explains, and he says that, obviously we know, as the Gemara in Yuma tells us, that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. But if we go above and beyond, even with all that Sinas Chinam, Hashem would go above and beyond for us, and He never would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. If we go lifnim mishuras hadin, then He wouldn't have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, perhaps, if we're able to go lifnim mishuras hadin, above and beyond, Hashem will bring back the Beis HaMikdash. There's no more special place that's doing that than you guys. There's no question. There's lifnim mishur sadin. There's going above and beyond here in Camp Pass. In Beit HaMikdash. In Avas Chinam. But where's that come from? Where's the root of being able to go lifnim mishur sadin, which we have to obviously do more of? Where's it come from? So I want to suggest the following. We're about to lay in this week Matos Maseh, the end of Sefer Bamidbar. Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik HaShem Racha, he always talks about, I have to live with the Parsha. I have to live with the Parsha, and the Parshas are not just by chance at different points in the year. But if you read a Parsha in a particular time, it's because that time in the year, we need chizik from that particular parsha. And these parshas, Pinchas, Matzos, Maseh, is right now, while you're here this summer in Camp Ask, and always during Bein HaMetzarim, during the 3 weeks. What about them? I just want to suggest something new. You know, the Vilna Gaon and the Ramban and others explain something very deep and very special. You know, we know there are Chamishei Chumshei Torah. There are 5 books of the Torah. And we think of them all on the same level, and in a certain sense, halachically, they for sure are. But in a certain sense, Sefer Devarim is different than the first 4 books. Sefer Devarim is different than the first 4 books. The first 4 books of the Torah, the way the Vilna Gaon puts it, is literally word by word the words of Hashem, the words of God. And he only used Moshe as a mechanism, as a medium to talk to us. It was like, you know how we've all heard stories of dibukim, of a dibuk, and how this spiritual being takes over a body and uses that body to speak? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atmo was using Moshe to speak to us. They were his words. Sefer Devarim is the nevuah of Moshe. In a very clear way like no other Navi. I don't know how many of you are holding yet, but ask Dr. Benji about Asbaklaria. He'll laugh, just go over to him. He was in a band, Asbaklaria, once upon a time. Close old friend. Anyways. Sefer Dvarim is the prophecy of Moshe. And by the way, you see it in the words. If you look at the first four books of the Torah, you find Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, in third person, as if Moshe's not speaking. Hashem spoke to Moshe. What do you mean, isn't Moshe speaking? In Dvarim you find time and time again, Vayidaber Hashem elai. Hashem spoke to me. They're His words. The first four books of the Torah are God's words Himself. The fifth book are the words of Moshe. It's His prophecy. Now, of course, it's elevated and halachically it's on the same level as the first four books. But that tells us something. It tells us then, in a certain sense, the end of Sefer Bamidbar is the end of God's Torah. And you know, when an author wants to write a book, the end of the book should be something very powerful. Should be something that leaves a lingering taste. Should be something that you're going to remember. So what's the very end of Sefer Bamidbar? You open up this week, the end of Maaseh is actually some psukim that we just read this past week in Pinchas. You know what it talks about? The end of Bamidbar, which is the end of God's Torah per se? B'noslavchar. Nashim tzikanios. B'noslavchar. Really? B'noslavchar? Really, God, that's the end of the Torah. That's your Torah. That's what we need to remember. Very nice story. It's cool. That's so powerful. So some would say it's to emphasize Kedushas and Chashivas Eretz Yisrael. And no question, we need that during these days. And we're hoping and davening this beautiful Gan Eden of Haskell will be lifted up and be in Shalom HaKodesh very soon with all of us. In the last year and a half, I don't think there's been a night that I haven't cried. Just dying to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's been so hard not being able to go there. I can't tell you how many tickets I've had and canceled and had and canceled. Baruch Hashem, I'm sending my daughter there tomorrow. Michlalat, she's going. But individuals who don't have first degree relatives are not allowed into our country. Eretz Hashem soon. But I want to suggest something different tonight. You see, I noticed for the first time this year, I don't know why I never thought about it before, it's very obvious, and maybe some of you had already. The language of B'nos Slavchad is a very familiar language. When they're upset and they want the Nachla for their father, what do they say? What words? They say words we're familiar with somewhere else in the Torah. You know what they say? Lama Yigara. Lama Yigara. Why should we be held back? Why should we lose out? Where else do we know words like that from? Where else do we know words like that? I heard a few people. Parshas Baloscha. Pesach Sheni. Those Jews that were Tamei, whether they were Tamei because they were holding the Aron of Yosef, whether they were Tamei because of Nadav Navi or Meis Mitzvah, and they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach, they said, Lama Nigara. Why should we be held back? Now both cases are very similar. Halachically, both of them, we had the halacha. Pesach Sheni, Ona Yitzchak Patri, or Osik Mitzvah Patri Mitzvah, whatever way you want to look at it. You're not doing anything wrong. You're taking care of the dead body, so you don't bring a Karban Pesach this year. You didn't do anything wrong. This is the halacha. The Nachla only goes through the men. Okay, it is what it is. This is the halacha. In both cases, they said, Lama Yigara, Lama Nigara. And you know what happened through that? They created a new halacha. In both cases. Pesach Sheni, in Parshat Baloscha, and a Nachla for B'nos Lavchad in our parashios. You know where that came from? You know where that came from? That came from a tremendous leaf. It came from a tremendous heart. It came from a place of Islam, a place of passion, a place where I'm not just doing because I have to do and check. I'm doing because I want to. And I don't want to be held back. I want a piece of Eretz Yisrael. I want to bring the Korban Pesach. Not just because I'm obligated to. And Shkoyach, I'm putter. I want to. It comes from the place of passion. From a heart. From Hargashas Halev. And that passion created these halachos. And that passion is when a person goes, Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. Not just I'm a Yid, so I keep Torah mitzvos because I believe in Hashem and I believe in Torah. Of course, I know that's what's best for me. That's what I know. No. This is my life. I want it more than anything. You know when you're in love with someone? Could be with a sibling, could be a friend, it could be b'shat tova by all of you with a spouse, be b'shat tova with your children. You don't just do what you have to do. You want to do. And you'll go above and beyond. You know, tonight, there was I'm in Camp Dina for the summer. I'm the rabbi in Camp Dina. And one of the women that works there, it was her birthday today. Her husband left last night. He had to work this morning. Mincha Meirv time. And he lives in Teaneck. It's like an hour and 15-minute drive, hour 20-minute drive from us. Mincha, I see him show up. I'm like, well, what are you doing here, Mark? He says, oh, it's my wife's birthday. How could I not drive and come to say happy birthday to her? Now, he didn't have to do that. She would have, no big deal. He's an hour and a half away to say happy birthday. He wanted to do that. He has obvious love. We go above and beyond. We do crazy things when we're in love. We do things with Nim Rishur Sadin. It's, I don't have to be told to do it. I want to do it. I don't have to be told to go hold my child in the middle of the night who's crying for hours. I want to because I love my child and I have passion. So I'm lefnim mishuras hadin. You don't have to be told this summer to take care of your campers. Just look into their eyes. And you have ava. And you're going to go lefnim mishuras hadin and you already have. And it's not because you signed up for Hask. It's because you have love. And you have love for other Yidden. Even Yidden you hardly even know. Because when you love someone, all you want, you just go above and beyond. And we do crazy things. That's what you're doing here. And by the way, if you could do it for your Ben Olam Chero, I want to just tell you a little secret and you'll figure it out. You could do it for your Ben Olam Makom as well. And each and every one of you could find the time to daven every day. I know it's hard, and definitely your avodas, your ratan Hashem, is to be with your campers. But if you really want it, you'll find it. You'll see, you'll find it. And you'll find some time to learn. Maybe not as much as you learned this past year. Maybe not, but you'll be koveh to Torah every day. Because our lefnim Rishus HaDin has to be in Bein Olam Chavero and in Bein Olam Makom. And when you love someone and you love what you're doing, you could do it. And you have it. Each and every one of you has it within you. You wouldn't be sitting here if you didn't. And believe in yourself. And believe in your love. Your love for each other. And your love for Hashem. That's the passion of Bnei Slavchad. That's the passion of the Yidden by Pesach Sheni. That created new halachas. Things that didn't exist. You're going to find in yourself this summer so much that you didn't even know existed before this summer. You didn't even know existed. Not just, and of course in your Bein Olam Chavero, I tell everyone, my Talmidim, my Talmidot, how can you not go to Hask? Where else could you say you're going to be a better father, a better husband, better wife because you spent the summer here? Where else? How could you not? What's the Shaila? What else are you going to do this summer where you can say, undoubtedly, because I spent the summer here, I'm going to be a better father, I'm going to be a better mother, I'm going to be a better wife, I'm going to be a better husband. Be a better person. But guess what? That was all within you the whole time. And you know what else you're going to find? You can even have a more special relationship with Hashem because it's with Mesiras Nefesh. And it's going to be Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. And whatever davening that you have with that davening will be Lefnim Mishuras Hadin Dika davening. And that learning will be Lefnim Mishuras Hadin Dika learning. From passion, from love. You know what's going to happen then? Then we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's not just because we have to, it's because I want to. You know, there was a tzaddik, the Sama Rebbe Zecher Tzaddik HaShem Baruch Hu. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but there was definitely a lot of different opinions on his opinions specifically about Eretz Yisrael. But a lot of what his opinions morphed into was not what he believed in. He was a very special person. And I just want to tell one story about his Ben Abba Machaveru. Rav Yodel Teitelbaum, Zecher Tzaddik Lishvracha. So, he's buried only about a half hour away from here. You go daven. So in the early years of Eretz Yisrael, where he was, as we know, he had many ideals and ideas that were connected Zionism. We're not going to get into that politically now or anything. I'm not going there at all. Every one of us here loves Eretz Yisrael deeply and dearly, and we don't need to get into that. But at the time, there was a dati, a religious writer in Eretz Yisrael that was writing for an extremely leftist paper in Eretz Yisrael. And this particular individual often would write articles against the Satmar Rebbe, but in a very disgusting way, with zero respect, full of leitzanus, making fun of him, mocking him, full of mockery. It's one thing to have a different opinion, about it. The tzaddikim that argued about this, but in such a, really with no kavod, in a way that wasn't appropriate. And this writer, unfortunately his wife became very sick and needed a very serious surgery. And the expert surgeon was here in New York, in America. And he didn't have the means, the money, to be able to come to America and pay for the surgery and the housing that he would need and everything. So we know that the chesed of Satmar is legendary. Anyone who's had to be in a hospital into a Bikur Cholim room, it's legendary. Here's where it all came from. Someone told this writer, go to the Satmar Rebbe and he'll help you. And this writer sinks into his seat. The Satmar Rebbe, if he looks at me, he definitely knows who I am. He definitely. But he had no other choice. So he decided he's going to go to Satmar Rebbe. Maybe he doesn't know him by face. He won't know who he was. He'll give his Hebrew name, you know, whatever that is. The Satmar Rebbe, of course, the minute he walked in, knew who he was. And he sits down and the Satmar Rebbe shows him such love and affection. And he starts explaining to him why he's there. And the Satmar Rebbe says, of course I'm going to help you. What do you need? How much you need? And he gives him tremendous amounts of money to cover all of the medical needs, to cover his hotel stay for 6 months, takes care of his food, everything. Everything. And then he says to him, he gives him a whole bracha for his wife. He says, when you're zoichet to have your refus and your shuos, I want you to come back to me afterwards. And this man is thinking, after he leaves the Talmud Rebbe, he's so thankful, he gives him tremendous hakar tov, and he's thinking to himself, the Rebbe was so nice to me, so sweet to me, and of course he cares about another yid and the health of another yid. But why does he want me to come back? See, after everything's finished, he's going to give it to me, he's going to scream at me. He deserves it, he felt. And he goes in Baruch Hashem, Kachavi, his wife had Rukuos and Yeshuos. And after 6 months, he's ready to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes back to the Satmar Rebbe. And Satmar Rebbe says to him, Baruch Hashem, and he tells him that everything went well, and Satmar Rebbe is incredible, gives him more brachas. He says, so you're going back now. Were you able to work during these 6 months from America? He says, no, I wasn't able to work. He says, so did they pay you? Did you make it? No, I haven't made parnasa in 6 months. So he says, it's going to be hard when you get back to Eretz Yisrael to get back on your feet, of course. He says, here, I want you to take this with you to help. And he gives him a check for thousands of dollars. He wanted him to come back to help him when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, that it shouldn't be suffering, it shouldn't be hard for him. The Satmar Rebbe, who he made fun of, who he was mamish mocking, that he needed to do that, that he have to do that. That Ava, he goes, Lefnei Mishur Hashem. And that's the l'fnim mishuras hadin that we can have in our Bein Ol Mechdero, in our Bein Ol Makom. And when we have that, Hashem says, how could I not do for them? You know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Amud Beis. And the Malachim, the angels, they come to Hashem. You see, the angels always were out to get us. Read, there's Gemara after Gemara where the angels, for whatever reason, they just can't handle our relationship with Hashem. Jealousy, whatever you want to call it. And they say to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Kasuv b'Torasecha, Asher lo yisa panim v'likach shokad. It says in your Torah that you can't show favoritism or take bribery. And the Gemara focuses on the first part. You can't show favoritism. But you show favoritism to the Jews. It says you're not allowed. You have to keep your Torah, God, Malachim say. How do you show favoritism to the Jews if you're not allowed to show favoritism? Listen to what Hashem says back. Amar lahem. Chilo es ha'panim l'Yisrael. I'm not going to show favoritism to the Jews. Ksafti lachem b'Torah. I wrote in their Torah. V'chalta v'savat v'rach t'shem l'kecha. I wrote in their Torah that you should eat, be satiated, and then make a bracha. In other words, you only have to make a bracha, berachas hamazon, if you're fully satiated, you're fully full after you're eating. They say berachas hamazon, even when they just have a kezayis, they just have a kebetza, just with a little amount. They go above and beyond. They go above and beyond for me. They decided that even though I didn't tell them they had to do that, they're going to do for me when they don't have to. I'm not going to do for them and show them favoritism. When we go above and beyond for Hashem, Hashem goes above and beyond for us. We have to believe that. That's what we're going to read. Hopefully we won't read it. But if we're not zocha, and hopefully in the schus of just all we're learning tonight, we will be zocha. But one of the kinos that we read last year, we're not going to read it this year, but one of the kinos we read last year, the first one that we read on in the morning, says, talks about al pnei pras nufsu chasideha. Something that happened on by the river of Pras, that the pious Jews mutilated themselves. What's going on there? The Medrash explains. The Nebuchadnezzar, he saw the Leviim, who we know sang beautifully and played beautifully, and he wanted them, he demanded they serenade him when he was feasting. You know what they did? Without hesitation, they hung their instruments on trees, and they mutilated their fingers so that they can't play for him. There was no chiyuv to do that. There was no obligation to do that. And that's l'fnim mishuras hadin, that's going above and beyond. We read about that on Tisha B'Av because that's going to be the key to no longer have a Tisha B'Av. And it comes from that hargashas halev. It comes from our heart, our passion. Be alive. Ravachi Daron. Ravachi Daron was this chief Svardic rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. One time they came to him, there's some Yidden that came to him with the following shiloh. There was a city, I don't know where the city was, but I don't recall, but they had a movie theater in the city. And this movie theater was open on Shabbos. And the owner wanted these Jews to put up a mezuzah. And they asked him, are we allowed to put up a mezuzah on a movie theater that's open on Shabbos? And Rav Bakshi Daron paskind that a movie theater that's open on Shabbos is a makom bizayon, is such a disgrace. And just like you don't put a mezuzah up on a bathroom because it's a makom bizayon, we don't put a mezuzah on a movie theater that's open on Shabbos. It's a bizayon. It's a Klal Yisrael. You have a mezuzah in such a place. The owner of the movie theater got very upset. Imamish was so angry about this. And he started like this whole rebellion against Rav Bakshi Daron. He got people together to sign a whole document that to try to uproot that Rav Bakshi Daron should not be the chief rabbi. And Rav Bakshi Daron didn't understand. The same guy that didn't care if his movie theater was open on Shabbos, he's getting so agitated and so angry and so full of passion because he can't have a mezuzah. Like, what's going on? Didn't understand. And then he went to the dentist. And when he went to the dentist, he went because he had a toothache. It was really hurting him, you know. It's never fun to go to the dentist. And when he went to the dentist, he was explaining which tooth hurts. So the dentist, you play this for your mother. It's Hashem. So the dentist, you know what the dentist did? The dentist took one of the tools of the dentist, I don't know what they're called. Shaili, as you know what they're called, then we'll call your mother. And you know what the dentist did to me? Tap the tooth. See if it hurts a lot when you tap it. And if it hurts a lot, that's a good sign. Because it means, again, probably maybe need a cavity or something, but it means the tooth is still alive. If it doesn't hurt at all, if there's no feeling, it's completely dead. It just needs to be pulled. And Rav Baksha Doron got it after that dentist visit. And he saw that the passion of that Jew of the movie theater meant that he's still alive. He might be struggling and needs to be picked up, but he's still alive. Because when he tapped his tooth, he was angry. It was hurting. He said, by the way, that's what Pshat and Lel Seder. Lel Seder, we read the Dalet Banim, one of the strangest parts of the entire Seder. Everybody talks about this. There's so many beautiful ideas. I'm sure all of you said something over your Seder once upon a time, because the Rasha comes to the Seder. And what do you do to the Rasha? Hake Yeshinov. What do? You knock out his tooth. You knock his tooth. And everybody asks, really? We're a loving nation. Shouldn't you just give him a hug and try to be makar of him? It's Lel Seder. You're knocking it, you punch him in the face because he's a... What's going on? Baksha Doron says, no. Knock his tooth. See if he's still alive. See if he still has passion. If he's dead, there's nothing to work with. Knock his tooth to see if it's still hurting. By the way, it came to me with gematria. If you take the gematria, lehaka shinov, to knock, to hit the tooth, lehaka shinov, the two kolos, it's 513, exactly gematria, hargasha. Hargasha is feeling. Lehaka shinov, to feel the hargasha, to see if the feeling is there, to see if the passion is there. And if the passion is there, you're still alive. And the passion that we have is the source of all of our avoida that's lefnim mishuras hadin. We could do. A yid could open up a siddur and be yotzazayin check. I daven today. Could look back and they check. I learned something today. Check. I said brachos before and after. We could do all that and doing nothing wrong. That comes from the mind. It's knowing that's what I'm supposed to be doing. When my heart is alive, when there's love, it's not enough just to do what I need to do. I want to do so much more. I have such passion. I'm going to go above and beyond. When I daven, it's going to be with a heart. When I learn, even for only 10 minutes, because I've been so busy and I have so little time, that 10 minutes is so precious, it's with a heart. When I'm involved every moment with my camper, it's not just because I have to. It's lefnim mishuras hadin. Because I have a heart. Because I'm in love. I'm in love with every yid. I'm in love with the Rabban Shem. That's a passion all of us. We have it within us. Sometimes it gets covered over. We live in a society full of temptations and full of distractions. And it covers over our beautiful heart. Let's be reminded by the B'nai Slavchud. It's the end of Hashem's Torah. Maybe it's the end of Hashem's Torah to remind us, Rachmana Libaboy. Rachmana Libaboy. Hashem wants our heart. He doesn't just want cold avoda. He wants our heart. He wants passion. He wants excitement. He wants what you're doing this summer. This is Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. But He wants it not only in your Bein HaMukhver. He wants it in your Bein HaMakom as well, and you could do it. And if we do that, maybe then we'll be zoicha. The Gemara tells us And now maybe we understand it. Gemara tells us in Bamasiya Lamed Beis that Lo Charva Yishlayim Ella Shelo Avdu Lefnei Mishras Hadin. So maybe just this summer, just these 2 weeks leading up to the day that we still call a Moed, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zeches Adkadosh Baruch Hu, when he referred to the 9th of Av, he didn't refer to it as the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. He referred to it as the day that Mashiach was born. Maybe that's going to be for us. If we grab onto this Yisod, we do everything we're doing here, in our Ben Al Chaver, Ben Al Makom, with the passion, the heart that we have, with Nimish Rezadin. All these Zayichad, Gul Shleim, Abzil Chakenu, Bimhera, Biyamein. Have a wonderful night, and hopefully we'll be back again, Amir Tzachar.